Amen. That's our prayer today. Hopefully that you're being encouraged already and sensing God moving you closer to Him today as we face a new day, a new week, and a new year. Speaking of a new year, is it just me? Or as we approach the new year, coming out of a very, very stressful, difficult year, was there just a sense that there would hope that things would turn around, that perhaps when the clock switched from 2020 to 21, something miraculous would shift and we would actually kind of move on from where we've been paralyzed for this year? Is that just me? I got the feeling that a lot of people were just watching the clock, you know, click and hoping things would flip. And yet, unfortunately, it seems like from the very beginning, we're a month into the new year, it seems like we've been hit with just more lockdowns. We've been kind of, you know, been shackled with dire statistics. It's just getting worse rather than better. We have people telling us, hey, it's going to get worse than this. And not much good news coming from that. And then there's just ongoing conflict anywhere and everywhere, whether it's just relational conflict, political conflict, financial conflict, you name it. And I guess if anyone was trying to put extraordinary hope in a miraculous turnaround, I would imagine that kind of looking back on this month and the pattern, we would all be kind of asking a variant of the same question, now what? Now what? I thought things were going to get better. Now what? I think things were going to improve. Now what? And you know, for me, it's not the first time I've asked this question. It really isn't. I mean, I look back on times in my life where I desperately needed a job, and any job. I'd take any job that you could offer. And the applications were rejected time and time again. I mean, when I made meticulous plans, and I mean, I'm not a planner, but I would work really hard to make meticulous plans, and then the plans would just fall apart. When I said something with complete sincerity, with absolute honesty and the best intentions, but what I said resulted in confusion or offense or conflict. I didn't mean it that way, but that's the way it came across. Or maybe when I simply stepped out in faith, and it turned out that I felt like I'd stepped off a cliff. In every one of these situations, after the emotional roller coaster and just being tossed and turned and trying to letting the dust settle, when all that came to a stop, I ended up asking a form of the question, the seemingly unanswerable question, now what? I mean, have you ever asked that question? I mean, can we be really honest? If you're there today watching the screen and you're just kind of nodding your head a little bit here today saying, yeah, I've asked that question. Have you ever asked it and just come up against a wall because you couldn't find the answer? But maybe your now what question came from even more serious circumstances than what I just described. We've all had problems that need to be solved. Everyone has problems that need to be solved, but sometimes there are unsolvable problems. We've had some tensions that need to be relieved, but sometimes there's some unrelievable tensions. And at some points in our life, maybe now or probably going to be in the future, and most likely many times, I'm just trying to speak truth to you, right now, we're going to find ourselves in a season of life where it is what it is, and that's all there is. I mean, this is just the way it is. Maybe you have health issues. You got a diagnosis from the doctor, and you're not going to die, but you're not going to get better. It's going to be something that you're going to have to manage. It's just the way it is. Maybe you're in a family situation. Maybe you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's not a great relationship, but at least it's a relationship. At least it's something. Or maybe your marriage. Maybe your marriage is not great. But you're married and you're making it. Or maybe you wanted your kids to grow up in a certain way, but they made choices you didn't want them to make, and their choices have consequences that are affecting them and you, and you can't undo. Maybe there's financial situation. Your financial dreams haven't come true, and in reality, they're not going to come true. Maybe your professional issues are unresolvable. You know, someone said you did something and you're not sure if it's true or not, but you got knocked out of your industry. Maybe you were in a career, but then that career is shifted. Maybe that career has expired and that industry is no longer in existence and you don't know what you're going to do and you're not going to go back into the industry because it doesn't exist anymore. Maybe your goals, your dreams, your academic dreams, you were going to be a doctor. You were going to be a lawyer. You were going to do something great. And you were planning on graduating with a degree and entering a field, but at the end of the day, you're just going to be what you can be. You just got to take a job somewhere. Or maybe it's the social climate of the day. Laws are being passed, culture is changing, and the future is uncertain, and we have no control over that. And in addition to all these external situations, there's the internal battle as well. It's not just the life you're fighting on the outside, it's the life and the struggle you're facing on the inside. This is not the life that you expected to live. You may feel like you're living someone else's life. This isn't supposed to happen to me. But there's no going back. And there's no way to recapture the glory days of the past. And it's easy. It's so easy to slide into resentment. It's so easy to succumb to anger. It's so easy to fail and compare ourselves and at what could have been, should have been, would have been. But in all these seasons of life, we draw some very defeating conclusions. And I just want to bring these attention to you today. Maybe not because they're surprised, but maybe to encourage and say that you're just like everyone else. And that we're all facing those self-defeating conclusions that the enemy wants to bring. The Bible warns us and says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And maybe he's trying to do it in this way. Maybe you've thought to yourself, I'll never be happy. Maybe you've wrestled and are beginning to cave to the lie that nothing good will ever come out of this situation that you're in. And maybe you have gone to that dangerous point in life where you're thinking there is no point in continuing. That's a very, very, very dangerous and tragic place to be, my friends. And I cannot tell you, it's not true. Because even if you're a Christian, here's where it can get really, really discouraging. In all of these circumstances, God may seem distant. I know how that feels, that God can feel very distant. He's more like a doctrine that you know rather than a person you know. Maybe your relationship with God seems one day, I've been throwing up prayers, God, I've been asking you, I've been doing my daily 20, and it just seems like I'm just hitting what the Bible sometimes says is brassy heavens, where my prayers are just reflecting back off a hard service, and it's not making its way to you. You feel like you've been working for him, but Jesus seems more like a teacher who had given an assignment and then stepped out of the room, leaving you to learn the lessons and finish the assignment on your own. Here, I gave you some homework, get it done, it's up to you. Maybe you're praying to him about your problems and trying to trust him, but somewhere, somehow, it just doesn't seem like help is on its way. And you just don't have any real interaction with him. You really feel it's one-sided and nothing seems to work. So in all these circumstances and situations I've described, what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you just don't know what to do? And as I'm going to try to show you today through God's word, when you don't know what to do, all you can do is let God's Spirit live inside you. Now, that sounds like a rhyme, but in those circumstances, situations, sometimes you just need to go to something you can remember. When I don't know what to do, I'm going to choose to let God's Spirit live inside of me. I'm going to try to do that. Let God's Spirit live inside of you. Now, what I find so fascinating, first of all, is that the last few weeks have been kind of an adjustment, course adjustment. And Pastor Randy has asked Aaron, Pastor, and himself, and I to speak on one-time topics. And all of us, without any collaboration, were drawn to the same passage of Scripture. And at the end of the day, can we just say God is trying to tell us something? He's trying to say something. We didn't say, hey, I'm going to preach on this. What are you going to preach on? Simply, we just decided we're going to preach on what the Spirit led us to say. And it's interesting that all of us have brought to the table a component of John chapter 14. And Pastor Aaron did such a great job of talking about the dwelling of God and knowing that God is preparing a place, and God's dwelling defines us. God's dwelling gives us a place to aim at. God's dwelling really, really determines who we are and our value. And Pastor Randy talked about peace and the significance of peace and God's peace, especially in these times. And today I want to just add to that wealth of insight in God's word today by looking at John chapter 14, starting in verse 25, and recognizing that we are in similar situations to the men who sat around a table with Jesus in this chapter and asking a very similar question. What do we do when we don't know what to do? Jesus had led them. Jesus had cast a vision of a new kingdom. Jesus had said that he was going to give Peter the keys to the kingdom. Jesus said that some great things were happening, that he was going to live victorious and he was going to conquer all. And the promise of his rulership and his reign, they had followed him just recently, a few days earlier in this story. They called it the triumphal entry, where people were singing to the Son of David and believing that a new king had arrived. And these disciples are anticipating something awesome was about to happen. They were on the cusp of greatness. And suddenly Jesus switches the script and he sits them down at a table and he says, guess what? I'm going to die. Guess what? Someone's going to betray me. I am going to die. And all their hopes and dreams, all their aspirations suddenly come crashing down with one meal. And they're thinking to themselves, now what? He seems pretty intent on doing this. He seems like there's no stopping him, and he is going to do this. He's going to follow through. This is not the plan. This is not the way it was supposed to be, and yet there's nothing we can do about it. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? And Jesus had an answer for that. For these disciples who were probably internally screaming, now what? Jesus spoke to them. And in John chapter 14, he said so many things, but I want to pick it up in mid-conversation where he says in verse 25, "All of this I have spoken while still with you." See, to understand the background of this statement, throughout the book of John and other gospels, it tells us that the disciples struggled to understand so much of what Jesus said and did and promised during his earthly ministry. Jesus had said so many things at the end of the book of John. It says if everything was recorded, the biggest library in the world wouldn't be able to hold it. He did so many things and said so many things. So many things were happening. And what I find interesting is that the disciples had a difficult time understanding what Jesus was saying firsthand. They heard him when he said it. They were able to ask follow-up questions. They knew the culture. They knew the language. They knew exactly where he was coming from. And they had difficulty understanding what he was saying. How much more hope is there for us 2,000 years later? But even more important, how many of us find ourselves spiraling towards fear and panic when we don't understand what is going on or what we should do about it? And it doesn't take much, does it? But Jesus anticipated this. Jesus knew we wouldn't know what to do. And so he promises in verse 26, he said, "All this I've spoken while still with you, but I'm going to remind you again." And he says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." They're told that when the Counselor, in other translations say the Helper, other translations say the Advocate, when he comes, when the Helper comes, he will enable them to recall and understand what Jesus has taught. And that doesn't change today. This Helper, this Comforter, he's going to serve them. In other words, as a reminder and an interpreter. A reminder of what Jesus said and an interpreter of how these teachings impact our world and how we should interpret the circumstances of our situation. Again, in all those categories that we described just a moment ago. I like the Message version. The Message version is a paraphrase. It's not a literal translation, but it sometimes can kind of clarify and give some weightiness to what Jesus says in verse 26. The Message verse says, he adds on, "I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you." When you don't know what to do, when you feel like you're being left empty-handed, Jesus is saying, "I'm leaving you well and whole. I'm giving you a gift. It's a good gift, and it's going to help you." So what do we do when we don't know what to do? My advice is take Jesus up on his offer. Take Jesus up on the offer and allow the Holy Spirit to make everything plain to you. Now, before we jump to conclusions and we think we know who the Holy Spirit is, I just want to show you some things I came across while studying this. Because at the end of the day, familiarity sometimes doesn't breed necessarily contempt, but can kind of cause us to kind of get a little casual. Oh, I know who the Holy Spirit is. I know what he does. But if you really unpack this, the way Jesus describes him, I don't know about you, but it fires me up. See, the Greek word used in this text was the word parakletos. Jesus said, "I'm going to send the parakletos," which honestly is untranslatable. You see, that's why I said gave you so many different terms, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Helper, because it's a word that honestly is untranslatable. The King James Version translated it Comforter, which in that time was a good translation. But even back then, only a few hundred years ago, that word Comforter meant far more than what we may interpret it as today. See, to them, the word Comforter came from a Latin word called fortis. And that word means brave. And so, in other words, I'm going to send you the brave one. And a brave one, a fortis, well, get this, was someone who enabled others who were discouraged, disheartened, depressed, downhearted. Sound like anyone you know? It encouraged those to be brave. Now, nowadays, comfort has to do solely with sorrow. And a comforter is someone who sympathizes us when we're sad, will be with us when we're sad, will try to give words that can just lift us up. But I'm telling you that how many of you are like me, that there are times where I need more than that. I need someone that doesn't just pat me on the head, but I need someone that needs to rev me up and move past it. And so but beyond a doubt, the Holy Spirit does the comfort, I will never leave you. He's Jesus with you. Someone once said that he's the Jesus inside you. And the Jesus inside you is better than the Jesus beside you, which is kind of remarkable because that's exactly what Jesus said. I need to go so I can send the Comforter to you. It's good that I go so that I can send the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit does comfort, but to limit his work to that function is sadly to grossly minimize what he does. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to miss out on anything that the Holy Spirit can offer me, especially in these times. I would offer that a better, more accurate translation to this word parakletos is helper. But it means more than just lending a hand. It means someone who is called in an emergency. And it's the reason why the person called in, which gives the words, it's such power. You see, the word parakletos, the word helper, the Greeks used that word in so many ways. It was a person called in to give witness in a law court in someone's favor. Are you in a place today where you feel accused? Perhaps you've sensed the enemy is accusing you of failing, that you're not a man or woman of faith. Maybe you're not as strong as you thought you were. Maybe you're not as good as you thought you were, and you are being accused, and the evidence is mounting. Can I just tell you, God wants to send this helper, this fortis, this encourager, this parakletos to give witness in your favor. The parakletos was an advocate called to plead the cause of someone under a charge which would issue in serious penalty. Perhaps in your isolation, perhaps in your alienation today as we are in lockdown, you're being reminded of all your failures. And maybe you've returned to a sin that you thought you had left behind and you feel condemned. Can I just tell you that God wants to send his Holy Spirit to advocate and remind you don't have to pay the price. I paid the price. The price is already paid. The debt is wiped off. You didn't do it. I did it, and it stands. Perhaps you need the parakletos today because he's an expert in calling to give advice in some difficult situations. I know there have been so many circumstances where we face as a family and as an individual that question, now what? And we prayed, and in the right moment, the Holy Spirit, that helper, that parakletos came in and gave advice that could not come from anywhere else but the mind of God. He does do that. The parakletos is someone that was called in when a company of soldiers were depressed and discouraged, and they put new courage in their minds and hearts. Can I just tell you, Durban North Place, as an army of God called to take territory for the kingdom, that when we declare war, you can't expect peace. And there have been discouraging times. This incredible facility, this incredible team that has given heart and soul and blood and sweat and resources set up, and then it's been shut down, and then they started up, and then we had to shut down again. Can I tell you today that as an army that may feel some discouragement and some depression today, the Holy Spirit is coming alongside us to say, try one more time. And he's there to do that with you today. And always, the parakletos is someone who's called in to help in time of trouble or need, no matter what your need today. You see, we often talk about being able to cope with things. Perhaps we've fallen for that lie as like, well, I'm an adult, or I should be well along in my faith, or I should be able to deal with this. But you know what? That's not your job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes away our inadequacies, and he allows us to cope with life. I love to be reminded that the Holy Spirit substitutes victorious living for defeated surviving. That we weren't called to survive. We were called to thrive victoriously, but not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And here is what results. This is what results when we ask the question, what do I do when I don't know what to do? The answer is, let God's Spirit live inside you. The result is this. Jesus said it. In the Amplified Version, it says, John, in verse 27 of John 14, it says, peace I leave with you, my own peace. Not your peace, not your version of peace, but my peace, Jesus says, I now give and bequeath you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And here's the Amplified part. In other words, stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Wow. Wow. God has given us permission to say no. Don't allow yourself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, unsettled. Because in the Bible, when Jesus says, my own peace, it's not the peace that we seek. It's not the peace that we define. It's not the peace that we try to create for ourselves. But in the Bible, peace, in other words, shalom, never means simply the absence of trouble. Never means simply being problem-free. It means everything that makes for our highest good. And the peace that the world offers is that peace of escape. The peace that the world offers is that peace that comes from the avoidance of trouble and refusing to face things. And how many of us are honestly trying to escape trouble right now? that I don't know what to do, so I'm gonna turn to alcohol, I'm gonna turn to drugs, I'm gonna turn to sexual gratification, anything and everything to make the pain go away, to numb it, or to avoid it just for a short amount of time. We're a society that's longing for peace. We'll elect anybody that promises us a version of this peace. You know, we set up entire industries trying to create an environment of peace for ourselves, right? From aromatic candles to tranquil music to luxury vacations. People spend a lot of money and effort trying to escape problems and produce a type of peace. But the real problem is always waiting for us when we get home, right? The real problem is that we only are manipulating external circumstances, and we're not doing anything to achieve that lasting sense of inner serenity. But the peace that Jesus offers, the peace that Jesus offers, my peace I'm going to give to you, is the peace of conquest. The peace of conquest, where no experience of life can ever take it from us. That I may lose the battle out here, but I've won the war in here. That I may lose everything but Jesus said, I can't take it with me anyway. But there's a dwelling that we were told about, everything that where God has laid up something for us that can neither rot or wither or mold. That there's no sorrow, there's no danger, there's no suffering that can take away, no measure of darkness that can extinguish the light of hope of God's presence and promise in our life. Inner peace from Jesus is independent of outward circumstances. And you look through the Bible at so many different heroes of the Bible that even though they were going to go into the fire, they wouldn't give up. And they found that Jesus was with them in the fire. And these disciples, that their hopes and dreams were about to be literally nailed to a cross and then buried in the ground. And a few days later, he rose victoriously. And these terrified, disloyal, doubting disciples became the men who changed the world. Not because of something they believed, not because of something that they disciplined them some to, but to someone that they saw that was triumphant and victorious, and they gave it to him, gave it to them. The peace that Jesus offers is that peace of conquest. And so let me remind you today that peace doesn't come by resolving the problems of the present, because we're always going to have those problems. But it comes by trusting in the promises of God's presence. The great evangelist D.L. Moody said, "The greatest lesson I've learned in God's school is to let God choose for me." Wow. And God has chosen. Jesus has chosen. When you don't know what to do, let my Holy Spirit live inside you. When you don't know what to do, when you're asking now what, are you willing to let God choose the solution for you? And as we get ready to close today, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge each and every person. If you're here today and you've been watching, perhaps, but your attention's been divided, I'm going to challenge you just to focus for just a few minutes today on this. That perhaps you've been asking the question, now what? I'm about to give you the answer. I want to challenge you to commit yourself today to practicing the presence of God. I want you to commit yourself today to allowing God's Spirit to fill you and empower you and enable you to stop allowing yourself to be agitated, unsettled, anxious, angry, worried, or discouraged. I'm going to invite you today, rather than to succumb to all those temptations and to focus on all those worries, today I'm going to invite any and every time that these emotions start to rise up in you, that you'll look back on this promise of Jesus and say, I may not know what to do, so I'm just going to simply let the Holy Spirit guide me into what is true. That I don't know what to do, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me into what is true. What if, North Place Durban, what if every individual, whether you're in this room or you're online, perhaps you always watch, or perhaps you're only watching for the first time today, what if each and every one of us made a deliberate choice to opt out of finding our own answers to the question, now what? What would our church look like as individuals and collectively if we invited the Holy Spirit to remind us of what Jesus had already taught us, and to allow him to give us the peace of Jesus today? I'm going to invite our musicians to come back to the platform for a moment. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We've only been at Durban North Place for a short time, but I am in awe of how the Holy Spirit orchestrates every element of our service. The Pastor Desiree closed this service with that song, Waymaker. And she unpacked who the Holy Spirit is in so many profound ways. I just had chills. And I want to invite you to think about that song as we continue to challenge ourselves. What would our church look like? What would your life look like if you invited the Holy Spirit into your situation rather than be paralyzed with asking the question, now what? How would our society respond? Just think about this for a moment. How would our society respond if, when they expected Christians to lash out in anger and venom concerning the changes today, when circumstances and situations don't go our way? What if instead they saw us as Christ followers responding by putting into practice all that Jesus taught? And when faced with not knowing what to do, Jesus' followers simply said, I'm going to let God's peace shine through. See, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. I may lose everything in this world, but this world is not my home. What if, rather than trying to grasp in the dark to find our own way, what if we just allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives on a continual basis? If that is stirring a desire in your heart today, whether you're in this room or you're watching from a screen today, I'm going to invite you to find out. Boy, I'm going to invite you to receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It begins with just being asking, is like, have I made Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life? Have I made him the leader of my life? And if you haven't done that, that's where you start. You're never going to be victorious on your own. Come on, you know your life has proved that already. But Jesus promised to give you a new life if you put your faith in him. If you have put your faith in him, and you've done this before, but you know you're running a bit low, maybe you feel all the negative circumstances causing you to forget, maybe the outward pressure is, you just know that you're going to implode. Can I just challenge you to be filled with the Holy Spirit today? Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the inward sustaining power of the presence of the Holy Spirit allows you to resist the outward pressure of the exterior world. Let the Holy Spirit come into your life, minister to you, bring that peace into your life. And if you've never done this before, would you trust Jesus and receive what he's promised, the promise of the Holy Spirit? I want you to focus on Jesus' promises to give you his peace through his Holy Spirit. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Jesus says it very succinctly, let God's Spirit live inside you. It may not change all your circumstances and situations, but what it will do, it will sustain you through those circumstances and those situations. So today, as we close, again, I just give 30 seconds to focus on Jesus and to start your day differently. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm reminded of what Jesus said. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Apart from you, I can do nothing. But Jesus promised that he would give me victory. Jesus promised that he has overcome the world. Jesus has promised that anyone who comes to him, in no way will he turn away. Jesus has promised that he will never lose us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Jesus has promised that the victory that he's won, he's given that victory to us. There are so many promises that Jesus made. And Holy Spirit, today I pray that you would remind everyone watching this service today of what you have promised them. Bring it back to life. Those promises, Lord, may have been buried by circumstances and situations. Lord, those promises may have been covered over by a host of lies from the enemy. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just remove all those lies and that people would see the truth that you are speaking to them today. I do pray in faith, Lord, that you would change those circumstances and situations. I do pray, O Lord, and we ask that you would advocate. Come as the fortress, that helper, that encourager, that advocate that stands alongside every individual in their circumstance today, advocating for them, encouraging them, strengthening them, empowering them. I pray that that would take place today. But I pray it would even go beyond that and that we would make it a habit that when we don't know what to do, we would invite and allow the Holy Spirit to live inside me and you. These are my prayers today, oh God. And may we see Not so much our circumstances and situations change, but that we walk with a confidence that we have found the answer to that question. Now what? Now what? I don't know what to do. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit live inside me and show me what is true. That's my prayer for everyone today. Let us live victoriously today. Let the path of our life, the direction of our lives, our mind, our attitude, our efforts, our priorities, Lord, shift, because we're being reminded of who you are. You're the helper. You're with us. You live with us. And that can change everything. Holy Spirit, honor your word today. Empower your people today. Lift us up and lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let your day change because you have found an answer to that question. A question that has an answer and is beyond you. It's the Holy Spirit living inside you. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Have a great day. From all of us here at Durbin North Place Church, we love you. We're praying for you. We're walking with you. And God is faithful. Amen. God bless you today.